I wish it was possible for me to just come down, because I see a few faces that I don't just want to say hi, I want to hug them. So glad that you can be here, Carlita, Libby, others who cannot make it to church anymore. So glad, Lauren, that you can be here after a quick visit to hospital yesterday. There is so much to rejoice and to thank God that we can gather tonight. I was looking at these beautiful slides that we're seeing. Oh, by the way, Coleman and Marge produced only 280 of them. Didn't take any of their time. Oh, no. It just happened. It just appeared. People are working hard, quietly, without seeking thank you. Just doing it because this is the Lord's work. This is the joy. And thank you, those of you who had to sacrifice to be in church this evening rather than one or other festivity. Thank you for coming. Our scripture reading is from Matthew 1, verses 18 through 22. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Here ends our scripture reading. Speak to us through your word, O Spirit of God, as we now celebrate the birth of our Lord and our Savior. You know that many of our smaller children get somewhat confused, finding it difficult to understand the true meaning of Christmas. Little Nancy had a wonderful Christmas with lots of presents and toys. And a few days later, she talked with her older sister about what a great Christmas they had. And she whispered, "I sure hope Joseph and Mary will soon have another baby." You know, it was long ago, while the world was all about earthly power and military might, and it seemed just a little bit of out of place to shift the focus from all that to the little town of Bethlehem. So for just a moment, let us think about the world that Jesus entered in the days before Caesar Augustus. In the year 29 before Christ, the Romans declared peace in the world. Octavius the emperor fought several wars and won them all. And the Roman Senate celebrated the occasion and officially confers upon Gaius Octavius the titles. Listen to this: Savior and God. This is the truth. This is history. In that year, 29 before Christ, Octavius was declared Savior and God. He declared himself as Caesar Augustus, the ultimate ruler of the world. And the Roman Senate then ordered the building of a huge monument inscribed with this bold statement: Pax Romana. Translate, the peace of Rome. Pax Augusta, the peace of Caesar Augustus, was formally declared. Finally, the Roman world had peace from its many wars and from the conquered nations. They went across the world and they looted. They confiscated everything they needed and they wanted. Those were indeed brutal times. You know what? There in little Bethlehem, Jesus was born during those uneasy days under the rule of the Roman Caesar Augustus. You see, we as Christians proclaim that God simultaneously sent a competing, different type of peace, very much at odds with the Pax Romana. The Gospel writer Luke tells about angelic voices singing about a totally different peace, singing about something else, not about the power of Rome, but about a Pax Christi. Pax Christi, translated, a peace that only Christ can give. Back home here in America this year, we celebrate Christmas while our nation prepares to extricate itself from a protracted war in Afghanistan. And still within nations like Syria and the Congo, there is a civil war happening right now. Now, this became so very real to me while I was working on this. A very dear friend of mine in South Africa was working in the Congo till last week. And suddenly, out of Pretoria, I got an email from him to say, guess what? I'm back. We fled. We had to fly. He was working in one of the, well, whatever it was. And everyone who was white just had to get out. They got out just in time. That happened a few days ago. Here in the United States and elsewhere in the world, there is the persistent recurrence of gun-related violence in small towns like Newton, Connecticut, and all over in our cities and in our suburbs. At times like these, realities like these make it difficult, oh, so difficult, to find for ourselves inner peace of heart, mind, spirit. And even while we are singing about angel choruses, looking at the beautiful flowers, enjoying its other companies, we are painfully aware, we know, this very moment, throughout the world, peace, real peace, still eludes humanity. You see, peace is not just a matter of cessation of violence and hostility among nations or within nations. Nor is it simply a matter of peace of mind. True peace is the presence of well-being and justice in all of God's creation. And still, we proclaim and we pray peace on earth and goodwill to all. And when we say that to one another, when we write it in Christmas cards, when we make phone calls, then we are actually just repeating the gospel words of an angel announcing the birth of Jesus. Peace on earth is still the yearning of Christians and so many others throughout the ages. So it remains to this very day. There's no peace. Dying children, poverty, suffering. O God, bring peace. Help us that we do not have to run away from murderous soldiers anymore. Oh God, I want to feed my children. I want to feed them. Why do we have to get out of the way of Assad? What a world. What a world we're living in. You see, in the days of Caesar Augustus, the Pax Romana, Pax Augustus, ruled the nations, but it couldn't conquer the human heart. So, in the days of Caesar Augustus, God's gift arrives. Pax Christi, a peace that only Christ can give. Please, let it not be a celebration only once a year at Christmas time. You know, Mother Teresa, the little nun of Calcutta, reminded us that it is Christmas every time that we let God love others through us. Yes, it is Christmas every time that we smile at others and offer them our care and love. Christ could be born 1,000 times in Bethlehem, but still all in vain, because until Christ is born, deep within you and me, even this very moment, unless he's born, unless we open up and let him in vain all these beautiful decorations. Maybe just this Christmas, you and I need to stop looking around outside others. Some of them behave so badly and we have so much to gossip about. Maybe this is just a time to push it aside, to become very, very silent deep within. Oh Christ, into my heart, into my life. Come in now, Lord Jesus. Come in. Come in to stay. And then the future. With the Pax Christi in my life and heart will be beautiful. And I will fear no more.